Page 482. Okay, last week we were basically learning the korbanos which are brought twice a day on the Mizbeach, the morning sacrifice, the communal sacrifices. Now we're starting at the end of this perek, the last 10 psukim of the parsha, deals with the second Mizbeach that existed in the Mishkan. Now before we learned, there was the big Mishkan that they brought the sacrifices on. That was called the Mizbeach HaNecheshes. It was made out of wood, but plated with copper, filled with earth. That was the Mizbeach that they brought all the sacrifices on. Now, the Torah is going to discuss page 482, on top. Vasis Mizbeach Miktak Teres, you should make the Mizbeach that they brought the incense up of smoke. Ati Shitim Tasa Eisi, you should make it out of acacia wood. Now, in Parshas Truma, like when we're learning about the other Mizbeach, it was also, Nera, Shulchan, Aron. And page 458, it was speaking about what was called the copper Mizbeach, also made out of wood, but plated with copper. This Mizbeach was much, much smaller. This Mizbeach was inside the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, and it was for the Keteres, for the incense. So the Tepasik says like this, Amar Arkay, it was 1 cubit, meaning 1.5 feet or 2 feet long, Amar Rochbay, and Amar wide, Ravua Yihya, it should be square, V'amasayim Kemosi, and 2 amas high, Mimeno Karnesov, its horns, from it shall its horns be. Meaning, there are the ends, if you see the picture at the bottom of 482, you see the 4 corners, those 4 corners were called horns. But the Mizbeach just went up a little bit. So he says, those horns were actually part of the Mizbeach. They weren't a separate piece put on. It was actually connected to the Mizbeach. So basically, the Torah says, and then the next passage says, you have to plate it with gold. So therefore, this one is called Mizbeach HaZahav, the golden Mizbeach. And the first one, which was much, much bigger, was called the Mizbeach HaNecheshes that they brought the sacrifices on. Now, the Mizbeach HaZahav was inside the Mishkan. And the Mizbeach HaZahav, Mizbeach HaNecheshes, the copper Mizbeach, was in the outside. And I believe, I'm not mistaken,
Rabbi, is this what Chazan davened at, or whoever was davening for Nemet?
No.
Davened at?
No.
What did they use this for?
To bring the incense. If you look on page, the incense. If you look on 463, even though we're on 482, but on 463, okay, now you have that outer Mizbeach, the outer Mishkan, okay, that was the courtyard of the Mishkan. Then you had where the sign says Mishkan Tabernacle, that was the inside. Now, inside that smaller area was the Aron, the Menorah, the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is of the golden Mizbeach. The big one where you say Mizbeach HaNecheshes, where it says the copper altar, that was outside the Mishkan. That was what was called the courtyard of the Mishkan. And it's very important to we'll soon explain the difference, why this was inside, this was outside, and why this was small and this was big, and this was coated with copper, and this was coated with gold, and this was for Kabanis, and this was for Ketaitis. There's a lot of reasons why each one. But the commentaries ask a basic question. This is one of the appliances of the Mishkan. This belongs in Parshas Truma. In Truma, it discusses all the various things of the Mishkan. The Aron, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, the walls of them, everything was there. Tetzava was talking primarily about the garments of the Kohanim. Remember, that's what we learned about the whole Tetzava. The garments of the Kohen Gadol, the garments of the regular Kohen. So the question is, why did they wake up at the end of that to wake up with the Mizbeach? It doesn't belong here, it belongs in the other parsha, where it talks about the other parts, the other appliances of the Mishkan. So there's a few answers. Answer number one is the Sephorna that writes, or Sephorna, whichever you want to pronounce it. It says like this. The Torah is telling us there was a different purpose of all the other things in the Mishkan and the Mizbeach of the Ketores. What was the difference? The Mishkan, all the other appliances, were to bring God glory into the Mishkan, into the world. The Ketores was to appease God that he should accept what we do. In other words, to bring godliness down into the world, that the Mizbeach did, the big Mizbeach of copper. The Mizbeach HaKetores was to that God should be appeased and accept all the things we do for him.
And on the inside one.
Right. So therefore it's different. The Rachaim explains it another answer. Why is it mentioned differently? So he writes like this. Every part of the Mishkan, all the appliances of the Mishkan, were allowed to be used in the temple, eventually. The golden Mizbeach, they had to make a new one. So because in that respect it's different, the Torah treats it differently than all the rest. Another deeper explanation for all this, according to Chassidus, explains as follows. Korban, the other Mizbeach was for Korbanus. Korban comes from the word Karov. What does Karov mean? Close. Like we discussed at great length, Karban brings a person closer to God. When I am close to you, we're still two different people. We're two separate people. The word Ketores in Hebrew means incense. But in Aramaic, in Zohar and Gemara expression, Ketores, Kuf, Tof, Resh, Kuf Tes Resh, in Aramaic, Shin and Tes are interchangeable. So in Hebrew, in Aramaic, when they use the word Bechat Ketira is Katarna, Ketira means Kesher. In Aramaic, the word Ketores means Kesher, binding, tying. When you tie two things together, they become one. In other words, the outer Mizbeach brought a person close to Hashem, but they remained as two entities. The Mizbeach Azov, the golden Mizbeach, which was brought for the Ketores, that was binding and tying the Jews with Hashem that they became one. So therefore, it's mentioned last because it's a completely different Aveda. It's not an Aveda of coming close, it's an Aveda of becoming one. Now, what was the uniqueness of the Ketores over all the other, over the other Mizbeach and over Korbanus? It's brought down in Kabbalah that the uniqueness of the Ketores, the incense, over the regular Korban, the Korban basically, you took a kosher animal and you brought it to God. The Ketores had, as we say in davening, va'achad osa samamonim ha'yuva, that 11 spices that we're going to learn about at the beginning of the next Pasha Kisisa. There are 11 spices. Hatzariv, Hatziperd, Nachelbana, Valvenim, you know, all the various 11 spices we say in davening. One of the 11 spices was called Chelbana. It's one of the third spice is called Chelbana. And the Gemara says about Chelbana, Reichera, it stunk. It had an awful smell.
And it's bitter.
I'm sure if it stinks, it's not sweet.
What you're saying is Chelba.
In what language?
What did you say?
Chelbana.
Chelbana.
What is Chelbana called?
Chelbana is like
as galbanum. Now you know. For me, the Hebrew and the English mean the same thing. I don't know what chalbana, But one thing the Gemara says, about chalbana was reichera. It stunk. It had an awful smell. So the Gemara asks, so why does Hashem want that as ketores? Incense is supposed to be smelling good. So why in the world does God want Chalbana? So it says, Chalbana reflected the sinning Jew. And Hashem said, and it's not only interesting, in davening we also say it. There are 11 spices. V'mchiser echad mikol samemaneha. If when they made the Ketores, they left out one of the spices, Chayiv Misa was capital punishment. Wow. Okay, do we say that in davening every day from the Gemara? So, which means that even if they left out Chalbana, which stunk seemingly, so who cares? The Gemara says, nevertheless, the Kohen would be Chayiv Misa for bringing the Ketores missing the Chalbana. So what does this mean, the Gemara explains? The Gemara explains that shows that in order to have a proper ketores, a proper smell for God, you need to include every single type of Jew. The good smelling Jews, the bad smelling Jews, the lousy Jews, the stinky Jews, the sinning Jews, the tzaddik Jews. Not only that, it has to be so much together that becomes ketores, it becomes one. It becomes one. To the extent that if you miss one, you chayiv misa. So where do you see really the oneness with God? Where does a Jew see that you're really one with God? When every single Jew is included with God. When every single Jew is included in the Ketores. And therefore the Ketores was on a much greater level than the Korban. To the extent that the Mizbeach Hazav, the golden Mizbeach for the Ketores was gold, it was inside because it was even holier than the regular Mizbeach to bring Korbanos.
Smells is very, very important. I mean,
well, generally speaking, the Chalbanos stunk, pardon the expression, but the Ketores together smelled good.
How about they were burned all together?
Yeah. Yeah, they made this thing, this concoction, and then they lit it.
Mix it together?
Yeah. They used to grind it up. In the davening, we say...
And speak to it.
Yeah, and talk to it, and spit on it, and they used to bring it back to the grind. They would bring it back to the grinder in Erev Yom Kippur. I mean, we say those are say kabanas before davening every day. This is what...
That's where the Buddha got the same thing from.
Here. They had the 11 spices, and then it, here. That, here, it says like this. It says, the center of the Bais Rav Nosson taught, while the Kohen was grinding the incense, the overseer would say, grind it thin, because the rhythmic sound is good for compounding of the spices. If only half the yearly required quantity of incense was prepared, it was fit for use, but we have not heard of it. It was permissible to prepare only a third or a fourth of it. Rabbi Yehuda said, the general rule is that if the incense was compounded in its correct proportions, it was fit for use even if only half the annual required quantity was prepared. If, however, one left out any of the ingredients, he was liable with the penalty of death. Okay? So, Ketores brings out a much greater level of unity. Then there's a very, very interesting klayok over here, and he explains what are these concepts of the two mizbechis, the two altars. And he says like this, one mizbech represents the body, and one mizbech represents the neshama. And he says even the soul needs to be forgiven. Even the soul needs forgiveness and refinement and elevation. And he explains like this, the Mizbeach HaNecheshes, like we learned, remember, comes from the word Nachash, the sin of the snake, because you bring animals. Why do you bring animals on the Mizbeach? Because animals bodily are similar to people. Okay? Animals, people, the same thing. Then he explains also, 1 second, I know animals are better. Then he explains why was the first Mizbeach in the Mishkan was 3 amos high. Remember, it says before it was 3 cubits high. This was 2 cubits high, and 1 by 1, but that was bigger. He said it because the Gemara says the average height of a person is 3 amos.
Almost 6 feet.
Well, between...
Those days.
Well, yeah, whatever it was. well, three amis. The Gemara says three amis, and if you put your hands over your head, it's another amma. If you lay down flat in the street with your hands out, you would have four amis. That's why four amis are yours. Shabbos, you can carry up to four amis. If something is found within your four amis, it's yours, because that's the space of a person. So he says the body of the person is three amis approximately. So the mizbeach, which represents the body of the person, was three amis high. And therefore you brought animals. But he says, you still need the neshama, also needs forgiven. Forgiveness. Why? Because when the neshama comes into the body, the neshama could also sin. The body and neshama sin together. In fact, later on in Vayikra, it says the words, v'nefesh kisechto. Simply means a person who will sin. But the Torah uses the word v'nefesh kisechto. In fact, the Zohar says, nefesh kisechto is not a statement, it's like a question. The Zohar says, v'nefesh kisechto, how is it possible for a soul to sin? The answer is, the soul could sin. It's in the body. When it's in the body, the soul could do an aveda. And therefore he says like this, when you bring a carbon for the body, it doesn't forgive the soul. So God says the soul needs its own forgiveness. What is the forgiveness for the soul? The Ketores. Why? Because Shlomo HaMelech says, Ruach Abahema Yeredes Lamata, the spirit of an animal goes down, the spirit of man goes up. When you burn the incense, the flame goes up. So that represents the neshama. And therefore he says, you have to grind it well, to show that the neshama has to be so nullified, because it has to go back to where the source of godliness, where it came from. What causes a soul to sin? Ego. So if you want to forgive the soul, you have to grind it up, meaning cause it to have this level of humility that can go back to God. And that's why he says, this mizbeach was one amma by one amma. One amma refers to yechida, singular. One, not pluralism, one. That refers to the neshama, which is called yechida. Hashem is called yachid. The neshama is called yechida. So he explains this, and that's why he says, that's why the ketores we're going to learn, we're going to read soon in the psukim. When did they bring the ketores? Twice a day. In the morning and in the evening. So he says, what does this mean? In the morning it refers when we're born, when the neshama comes into the body. And then in the evening refers to when we die. So he says the whole mizbeach of the ketores represents the kapara for the neshama of the Jew that needs to go upwards, needs to be ground up, needs to have this elevation of one, of yechida, to become one with Hashem. And therefore he says, that's the difference between the two mizbechis. One mizbech represented kapara, forgiveness for the body, the mizbech ha-ketores, and that's why it was inside, because the neshama is inside and the body is outside. So the outer mizbech, which was where they brought the animals for the nefesh habamis, for the animal soul and the body, that was on the outside. And this is in the inside.
The animal came out from the outside, brought two times a day, no?
Yeah. Because the animal souls, and they're just referring to that neshama when it's born and when it passes away. B'chad is the famous mashal, which is brought down in, I think it's not only a medrash, I think it's actually a gemara, that after 120 years, person passes away, and they come up to God, and God says, you didn't do too well.
Wow.
So the neshama says, me? What do you mean? I'm a great neshama. The Yetzer Hara, the body sin. What do you, me? What did I do? The body comes along and says, me? I'm a hunk of meat. I'm a dead piece of body, mud, meat. I sinned, the neshama sinned. Without me, there's nothing. So each one tries to get out of it. So the Medrash says, they give a mashal. There was a king, it's a beautiful mashal, the Medrash says. There was a mashal of a king that had a beautiful orchard. And it was so luscious, he couldn't hire a guard because the guard would eat up all the fruit. So what did he do? He hired two guards. One was blind and one was crippled. So the blind guy couldn't see the fruit. And the crippled guy couldn't climb the tree to get the fruit. So the king thought he's safe. Between the blind and the crippled, they can't get to the fruit. So one day, the crippled guy is looking at all this luscious fruit, and he knows he can't climb the tree to get it. So he calls over the blind guy and says, "You know this, you don't know what's going on over here. I have a suggestion. I'm crippled and you're blind. So you know what? I'm going to sit on your shoulders." The crippled guy says to the blind guy, "I'm going to sit on your shoulders. You'll walk and I'll lead you to the tree and we'll eat the fruit and we'll share them 50-50. They liked the idea. They ate up all the fruit. The king comes the next day and the king says, "What happened to the fruit?" He calls in the guys. He said, "You guys are supposed to guard. What happened to the fruit?" So the blind guy says, "Me? I'm blind." The crippled guy says, "Me? I'm crippled." So what did the king do? The Medrash says, the king put the blind guy, the crippled guy, on top of the blind guy, and beat them together. So same thing the Medrash says, the neshama comes with its cop-out, the body comes with its excuse, the Eibishter says, "You know what, I'm going to put the neshama and the body together, you sinned, I'm going to beat you up both up." So that's why the Mizbeach was two, the one for the body's forgiveness, and one for the soul's forgiveness. Okay, then it says like this, in Pasuk Gimel, "V'tzipisa eisei zahav tar," you should cover it with pure gold. "As gagai," its roof, "as kireisav," in its walls, "saviv," around, all around, "ves karneisav," in its horns, "vasisale zer zahav saviv," and you should make for the golden crown all around. If you can see in the picture at the bottom, it shows where the horns were and the poles we didn't learn yet, and where the crown was. So around there was around the Mizbeach was the actual crown. Now, he says, what does, the Klayokas says, what does the golden crown represent? He said it represents, he says, the Atara, that it says that tzaddikim are going to sit in Gan Eden with the crowns on their head, and they're going to enjoy the Shekhinah. Meaning, by having the forgiveness for the Neshama will be able to go to Gan Eden, and Gan Eden is going to have the crown on its head. So that's the concept of the golden crown. Okay. So then the Pasuk continues, says like this, "Shtei tabezov," you should make two golden rings, tasa shnei tzidav, on the two sides, "v'hoyu lebatim levadim," there'll be home housing for the poles, "laseisei se behemoth," to carry the mizbeach. How did they carry the mizbeach? They had the two poles, they could see over here, just like the other mizbeach had, in the shulchan had, and the aron had. All the kelim that they had to carry by hand had poles that they're able to carry it. So it says, you had the two rings, and they would make the vasisa sabadim atishitim. They would make the poles out of acacia cedar tree. V'tzipisa esim zov, and you would cover them with gold. And because of that, this was called Mizbeach HaZov. In fact, the Gemara says a very interesting statement. The plating of gold, the Gemara says at the end of Chagi, remarkable Gemara. The Gemara says that even the Rishoyim, the fire of Gehenna doesn't burn. It says why? Because if you think about it, this Mizbeach was plated with plating is a very thin gold. Yeah, and you know gold is a very light material. Gold burns very easily. Gold melts very, very easily. Yet we find one of the miracles in the Mishkan was the fire of the Ketores never melted the gold plating. Right? So it says, and that was a miracle that it didn't burn it. And therefore the Gemara says that the Yid, which is Malaya Mitzvahs Kerimin, full of Mitzvahs for sure, the fire of Gehenim, they're protected from the fire of Gehenim. But this was Taka miracle, it says, in the Gemara, that there was not the golden plate, the plating of gold didn't get burnt in the fire. Where do you put this golden Mizbeach? You put it before the partition, Asher al Arun Eidus, which is over the Arun. Meaning, the innermost part of the Mishkan was the Ark. Outside is where the Shulchan, the Menera, and this Mizbeach was. Asher al Eidus, which was on the testimonial, Asher Yivoy L'choshama, that Hashem reveals himself to him. So it says, where did they put the Mizbeach? Inside the Kodesh, not inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Vehikter all of Aaron Keter, some Aaron bring the spice incense in smoke, Ba'beker, Ba'beker, every morning, Ba'itivas and Nidaneiris, when he cleans the lamps of the Meneda, he should bring it up in smoke. And this we also say in Davening, when you say, Abaya v'mesader, say the Amarocha. So he discusses that there was the Keteris, they cleaned two candles and then they brought the Keteris and then they brought the limbs and the various different procedures that Abaya organizes the whole day procedure in the Beis HaMikdash.
How important is to say Kavanas everyone?
Very, very important. Now what do you want to do?
Rabbi Shishman, is it also a fact that
every part of my davening came differently?
Two things. One is, doesn't the neshama go into the nose first? Isn't that known as that when man is created, the neshama is through the nose?
What?
Or does it leave through the nose? What was it that I heard before?
Most things go out the way they went in.
Okay, so the neshama goes through the nose.
Hashem blew into his nose Neshama Chaim. Therefore, until Yaakov Avinu's time, how did people die? They sneezed, Neshama came out of the nose the way it went in, and the person died. When Yaakov Avinu asked to be sick, that he should be able to bless his children, and like the Gemara says, until Avram Avinu, until Yaakov Avinu, there was no illness, right? So Yaakov Avinu asked Hashem to be sick. But the fact is, it's the concept of leaving the way it comes. Now, you have to understand, you talk about a spiritual entity through a physical nose. I mean, just remember that. So you're not talking about if a guy has a bigger nose, they get a bigger neshama, smaller nose, smaller neshama. That's why Jews have big noses, because then they can get a big neshama. Yeah.
Just the people from Europe, not other countries, and not...
Well, they have bigger neshamas. So therefore he says like this, Aaron would bring the ketedis in the morning when he cleaned out the menera. When Aaron kindled the menera in the afternoon, he would also bring the ketedis. Tamid lefnei Hashem l'dereseichem, for in the presence of Hashem for all generations. Meaning, it was a constant thing that as long as the Beis HaMikdash was existing, they had to bring the ketedis twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. Like we said, which represents the birth and the death of the person. Then the Torah says, Leisalu olam k'teder zora, a person is not allowed to bring on this mizbeach a foreign incense, ve'elo mincha, whether it's a burnt offering, a meal offering, v'nesach, a pouring, leisischu, all of it is not allowed to be done on this mizbeach. So there's a negative commandment that this mizbeach was solely for k'teder. No kabbonis, no flower offerings, no wine pourings, nothing. The Torah says explicitly, this thing was explicitly only for the ketedis. V'chiper Aaron al karnesav, Aaron should bring forgiveness on once a year. And what happened was on Yom Kippur, one of the avodah of Yom Kippur was for Aaron to squirt the blood of one of the kabbonis on the corners of this mizbeach. That was the only time the Torah says this mizbeach was used for something besides kabbonis, ketedis. It says even though there are different kabbonis, but these are the ones that came to forgive sins. Ichabav the Reseichem Kedush Kadoshim Mul Hashem. It's the ultimate level of kedusha from Hashem.
So he will sprinkle it on to here.
Yeah, part of the blood of the korbanos of Yom Kippur, and it says other days of the year also certain unique korbanos, but no animal meats, just a few pourings of the blood.
I thought it goes in the on those two posts of the Aron Kodesh, no?
Also, okay. There's a bunch of things on Yom Kippur. Then the Mefarshim just discuss the beginning of Kisisa that we're going to start now. The beginning of Kisisa deals with half a shekel. What's the connection between the half a shekel, tzedakah, and the Keteris, and Yom Kippur? Because the Pasuk finishes off, Achas b'yema kippurim. So it says, this is the source, so to speak, that it comes in the day of Yom Kippur. When you want forgiveness, you have to give tzedakah. It says this is a hint that before Yom Kippur, you need to give tzedakah to get forgiveness.
You need a vessel, like everything else.
Yes. Okay, that's the end of Tesav. Now we're going into Kisisa. Okay, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Leimer. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Kisisa Esreish B'nei Yisrael, when you will count the Yidin, lefkudeh for the numbers, v'nasnu ishkeif v'nafshil Hashem, every Jew should give an atonement for his soul to Hashem, b'fkeid eisim when you count them, v'lo yibam negev, that there shouldn't be an epidemic, b'fkeid eisim when you count them. Now this, as we know, is going into the mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel. But if you analyze the psukim, this pasuk itself, there's a lot of things that need to be understood. What?
But it's not
Purim. Masas HaShekel they gave on Rosh Chodesh Adar. We do it today on Tainus Esther. But in the time of the Mishnah says, Be'echad ba'adar mashmim al ashkolim. Used to tell the people they had to do it.
Every day, every month, every...
Right. No. They collected it once a year.
Yes.
In the month of Adar.
And
Rosh Chodesh Adar.
What? But
this parsha
is not month of Adar.
First of all, this doesn't have to be in the month of Adar. This is referring now when he's counting the Jews. This is, and there's a whole discussion in the Mefarshim. Is this before the Egel? Is this after the Egel? According to many Mefarshim, the whole parsha Truma Tetzaveh is before the Egel, before the golden calf that took place in Parshas Kisisa. Some people say this commandment of Kisisa is also before the act of the Egel. Okay? Some people say the Egel happened first. First was the Egel, and then these Parshas happened. And therefore it says you need Kapara because it was the Egel. Some of Farshim learn it was in between. We learned at the beginning of Parshas Truma, there's three opinions when this whole thing happened. Before the Egel, after the Egel, or in the middle of the Egel. Because you have Truma Tetzaveh and Ve'yakob Akudei. So the one opinion says all of this took place before the Egel. Which we learned that, if you remember, that reflects the level of a tzaddik. They didn't sin yet. The opinion that says after the Egel is of the opinion that the Mishkan and all that stuff was Bali Tshuva. And the opinion that says it was the middle of the Mishkan, there were sinners. So there's three opinions, and as Svarim explained, it's not just three opinions. It's actually three concepts of the Mishkan. Is the Mishkan for Tzadikim? Is the Mishkan for Bali Tshuva? Is the Mishkan for the Shoyim? And all are right. The Mishkan is for every single Jew, just like we just spoke about the Chalbana, that even the wicked people are also part of this. Or like we said many times, the word Tzibur is an acronym for Tzadikim, Beinanim, Virashoyim. Tzadik Beis, Vav Reish, it says in many Sfarim, is an acronym for Tzadikim, Beinanim, Virashoyim. And they point out even more, that in its Tzadik Beis, Vav Reish. Virashoyim, in Hebrew this is called Vav Achibur, and is connecting to the earlier thing. Tzadikim, Beinanim, V'Rishoyim means the Rishoyim are part together with the Tzaddik and the Beinoni. In other words, in order to have a community, Tzibur is a community. In order to have a community, you need the Tzaddikim, you need the Beinonim, and you need the Rishoyim. And if you remember at the beginning of Parshas Truma, we also discussed, that's why the three primary materials that they used for the Mishkan was Zahav, Kesef, and Nechashis, gold, silver, and copper. Right? What's the concept of gold, silver, and copper? Before, during, and after. Kesef, we'll start with silver, is whitish. Kesef in Hebrew comes from the word, we say it in Yedid Nefesh, nichsef, nichsafti, longing, desire. Kesef, which is whitish, refers to tzaddikim. Gold, which is reddish, refers to Bali Tshuva, because he had the sin, but gold is a better material than silver. And then you have Nechashis, which is also red, copper, but Nechashis comes from the word Nachash, again, sinning. So Kesef, Zav, and Nechash represents the Tzaddikim, the Bali Tshuva, the Rishoyim, before the Egel, during the Egel, after the Egel. These are all these types of things. Now, we have to understand there's a lot of things over here. Meshe Rabbeinu says in the Medrash, ask God, B'meh Torim Karnim Shal Yisrael, how can we elevate the Jew? How can we elevate the Jew? So Hashem says, you want to know how to elevate the Jew? He says, Bechisisa, when you give a half a shekel. As we get into the Psukim, we will see that the only way, because it's a very funny expression, Kisisa Esreish in the English says, when you take a census. But anybody that knows minimal Hebrew knows, Kisisa means to pick up the head. Doesn't mean, Kisifkat, Minyan is counting, you know. It says many times how they counted, but it doesn't say Kisisa. What does Kisisa mean? The only way to elevate the head of the Jew is with a half a shekel. What does it mean, elevating the head of the Jew by giving a half a shekel? Because there's a question, the highest part of the Jew, of any person for that matter, is the head. The head represents seichel. How do you elevate the head? How can you elevate that? Like, where do you elevate it to? You elevate the head to the level of above seichel. Similar to Nasa v'nishma, blind faith, acceptance of the yoke of God, whether we understand it or not. The only way a Jewish head could be elevated is through having submission, Kabbalah's il, faith in God, doing what God wants, whether we understand it or not. That's the way a Jew is elevated from the human state, which is intelligence, to the godly state. In order for that to happen, you need to give a half a shekel. Why a half a shekel? Why not a whole shekel? In holiness, everything is whole. And even in the Gemara discusses a holy vessel cannot sanctify it unless if it's full. You want to make Kiddush, you need a full cup. You can't have a half a cup. In Kiddush, everything is whole and full. Why did Hashem want to give a half a shekel? If you can give a half a shekel, you can give a whole shekel. If you want to know how many Jews there are, if every Jew gives a whole shekel, you also know how many Jews there are. I mean, what's the difference? Why this half? Because a Jew has to realize he is only half. Who is the second half? Two concepts. God and another Jew. The only way a Jewish intellect could be elevated to a higher level of godliness is by a Jew realizing that I'm only a half. In other words, then you have room for God. If you're full of yourself, there's no room for God. The Gemara uses the expression, Kli male eina machzik, reikon machzik. An empty vessel could hold, a full vessel can't. So the only way a Jew can be elevated, the head of the Jew, and Bechlau, it's another interesting concept. It's explained in Chassidus in many different places. An animal, cat, dog, a giraffe is a little different. But most animals, the head and the rest of the body are on the same level. Only people have the head above the rest of the body. Meaning, by all other species, the emotions, the heart, and the intellect are all the same. By a person, the intellect is above the head, rest of the body, because he's created in the image of God. Why is a person's head above the rest of the body? Because a person's created in the image of God, and by godliness, intellect, chokhmah, bina, and das, is higher than the midas, than the emotional levels. So therefore, seichel, the head, is above the rest of the body. But how do you elevate the seichel? Through humility, through bittul. And that bittul is to realize the Jews only have. And we're going to see more as we get into this and the various different things. But also we mentioned, I think we mentioned it in another pasuk in the past, but v'nasnu, the Baal HaTanaim says, if you read it frontwards and you read it backwards, it's the same word. If you read the word v'nasnu, it means they should give. Read it frontwards, it's v'nasnu. If you read it backwards, it's also v'nasnu. Either way you read it, it's the same word. So Baal HaTanaim says, what does this mean? Whatever you give to the tzedakah, you get back. If you give it, you get it back, so the Torah, pasuk can be read both ways. The word is read both ways. Because the Torah says, he says, Kol ma'ashadam neisen l'tzedakah, yachzer elav. He's not going to lose anything because of it. Okay, now, there's a whole thing over here, but the simple meaning, the Klal Yochanan is differently. But most Mefarshim learn, the Gemara says it, why did they have to give? The Torah says there shouldn't be a plague. There shouldn't be a plague if they didn't give this half a shekel. Because the Gemara says, if you count Jews, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it makes ayin hara. And by making ayin hara, it could become a plague. So if you, even when you count the minyan, you don't say 1, 2, 3, you say Hashia Samecha, which has 10 psukim. Some people say V'yitalecha. Some people say not one, not two, not three, not four. So the Mefarshim, the Rashi learns like that, that any time you need to count, not to get ayin hara that could damage the people, you don't count heads. So how did they count the Jews? Each Jew gave a half a shekel, and they knew how many Jews there were. What was done with this money? This half a shekel that was yearly, because another half a shekel they made for the sockets, the silver sockets for the boards, that was a one-time deal. This was the yearly half a shekel that they were obligated to give. That was to buy the daily korbanos, the communal sacrifices that they brought twice a day in the Beis HaMikdash, and the ketores, you know, all the sacrifice expenses. So therefore, every Jew had a part in every communal korban which was brought every day.
So they give half a shekel regardless, every day?
No, once a year.
Oh, I'm sorry, once a year.
By the amount of half a shekels they had for all the Jews, there was plenty of money for the korbanos.
For the whole year?
Yep. They bought it wholesale.
It's hard to believe. Now, can you imagine how many korbanos was every day?
No, two. Just the communal. I'm talking about the communal korbanos. The morning and the evening one. And the ones they extra one they brought on Shabbos and Yom Tov. There were two korbanos a day here. Keves HaChatas HaVabeker. Ve'eseh Keves HaShem. We're going to say it in this parsha, in fact. In the afternoon. And there were smaller animals. There were sheep. Should they have money? The Medrash says Avram Avinu made currency. Yaakov Avinu, when he came to Shechem, it says one of the things in the Medrash he did, the Gemara says, he actually made a currency for the country. Avram Avinu had coins minted with an old man and lady on one side. I mean, the Gemara describes each coin, what David HaMelech's coins had, what the various different, they had currency. Avram Avinu bought Maris and Machpela, Abba Meir Shekel Kesef, 400 Shekel Kesef, which was over Lasech, I mean, the best type of currency. Should he have? I mean, that's how he dealt. Only Americans from the Indians gave shmatas, I mean jewelry. Everybody else used to deal with gold.
Why is Torah is not in chronological order? Do we know?
The Gemara says a rule, a mukta mo'ocha bater. There is no chronological order in Torah. Why? Sometimes there are reasons given, sometimes there are reasons not given. Okay? In this case, we had said, because the Torah wants to make the refuah, the healing, before the blemish. Like, the Gemara learns it out by, like, in the story of Esther, right? First, Mordechai became the big macher, and then he brought Haman into the scene. The Gemara says a rule, Hashem always makes the refuah, the healing, before the wound. Yeah. So the same thing with before the eagle, Hashem is already telling the Jews, even though maybe it was told afterwards. Hashem is telling the Jews, I want you to know, don't worry about it. Because I'm already setting the stage for forgiveness even before you sin. It's a remarkable thing. It's like, Hashem says already, you didn't even sin yet, but I know you're going to sin. So I'm going to prepare you with the medicine before you even get sick. Huh? A lot of times, the Torah does it to finish off something. I'll give you an example. At the end of Parshas Noach, it speaks about Avram and Terech. You know, okay. Then it says, Ela told us, right? Yeah? Terech was still alive for many years afterwards. But the Torah wants to finish with Terech and start new with Avram. Okay, then even when the Torah says Yitzchok died, Yitzchok passed away, Yitzchok was alive after Yosef was sold. So why is the Torah writing Yitzchok died before the story of Yosef sold? Because the Torah wants to finish up with Yitzchok and then go to Yaakov. So sometimes it just works better. Sometimes there's lessons and teachings. But, you know, the Torah says, not in chronological, the Gemara says, Ein muktam u'ma'ucha b'teira. There is no chronological order in Teira. In other words, between stories and stories. In one story, there is chronological order. You know what I mean? You're not going to have, in the same parsha, in the same few psukim, same paragraph, you're not going to have not chronological order. But between incidents and stories, or laws, when Hashem told them, there are a lot of stories in Torah. Torah wants to clarify, make it clear this one, then Torah goes into other stuff. Okay. The Klal Yoker basically maintains that the only time you need half a shekel to undo Ayin Hara if there's a big jump in the population. He maintains that for regular census, they didn't necessarily need to give a half a shekel. But here, we're talking about a lot of people were killed in the Eagle. And yet, 600,000 Jews remained. Right? Or the Jews go into Egypt with 70 people. And they come up with millions. So if there's a big jump, then he says you better count with a half a shekel.
So what did they do for the census when there wasn't a big jump? You're saying that they didn't necessarily have to do a half a shekel.
Well,
so if they didn't, what did they do?
They did it anyway because they needed it for korbanos. But the Klal Yoker writes, this that the Torah says, there shouldn't be a negev, a plague, an epidemic. He says that's not under normal circumstances. He says when there's a big jump, so then you need it. But otherwise, you don't necessarily need it. Okay, so the Torah says like this. Each man has to give kaif and nafshi, the redemption of his soul, when he's counted. And shouldn't be a blemish or epidemic when you count them. Then the Pasuk says, Zay yitnu, this is what you should give. Kol ha'ever ha'apkudim, whoever goes over the numbers, meaning from the age of 20, census time, she gave machzis a shekel b'shekel hakodesh, a half a shekel. And then the Torah says, esrim geira shekel, a shekel is 20 geira. And a half, a machzis a shekel, you have to give half of that. And we're going to see, this is a very, very weird pasuk. If you just take the pasuk, I mean, you translate it very nicely, this is what you should give, yeah. This is what you should give. Everyone passes through the half a shekel of the sacred shekel. The shekel is 20 geira. Half a shekel is a portion to Hashem. Yeah? Sounds very simple. Every word in this pasuk doesn't make sense. First of all, Zed Yitnu, as Rashi says, what do you mean this you should give? When you say this, that means you're pointing to it. Yeah? So Rashi says, Herele Kamin Mabeir Shalesh, Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu a fiery coin, Mishkola Machzis a shekel, and it weighed a half a shekel, and Hashem said to him, this is what you should give. Yeah? And then the Torah says, a half a shekel, a whole shekel is 20 gator. So you have to give a half a shekel. As if nobody knew what a shekel was. What is the Torah again by saying a shekel is 20 gator?
What's a gator?
It's a measurement. Oh. It's a weight, but it's by the way, there is a measurement for it, by the way. A shekel in Torah is 16 grams, according to certain opinions, it's less. Yeah. Some people say it was 13.33 grams. And by the way, it's very interesting because you need to redeem a firstborn with 5 shekel. Right? How much is 5 shekel? In today's measurement, it's 101 grams of silver. It's 101 grams. I don't know what...
So it's 20 grams.
Huh?
So it's 20 grams per 1 shekel, right?
Or yeah.
Right.
Well, that's the chumah that they give it.
It's around,
yeah, I mean, but the question is, since when does Moshe Rabbeinu not know what a half a shekel is? To the extent Hashem has to show him a fiery coin. Why does Hashem have to show him a fiery coin? Why couldn't Hashem just take out a half a shekel and say, you see this? This is what you should give. I mean, how does a fiery coin get into here? And why does Hashem have to show him? Moshe Rabbeinu was, the Jews were in business. Okay? Avraham Avinu, like we said, Abraham has shekel kesef. Everybody knew what a shekel was. Why did Hashem have to explain to him what a shekel is? And a fiery coin. And then again, the Torah says, "Machzis a shekel b'shekel akedish." A whole gator, a whole shekel is 20 gator. And then again, "Machzis a shekel truma l'Hashem." You have to give half a shekel. Like, it's very funny, this pasuk, going around in circles. The problem is, we don't have that much time. just to start it off, and next week, Mr. Shem will continue. Moshe Rabbeinu had a problem. Moshe Rabbeinu said he couldn't understand. Hashem says they needed kapara, the chapa nefshesechem, for the eagle. Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, how in the world by giving a lousy half a buck do you get forgiveness for the avodah zarah of the eagle? Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem a very simple question. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what a half a shekel was. Moshe Rabbeinu knew very well what a half a shekel is. He says to God, what in the world is going on? A guy worships idol, right? Idols, like we've learned already, this brought back the Chet Tzadas, which Matan Torah took away, and the eagle brought it back. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, God, you want to explain to me how a lousy half a dollar is going to forgive for an eagle? It's free. It's a good way to sin, you know? It's cheap. You want to eat treif, you give a half a buck and you can eat whatever you want. I mean, it's a mechaya. You can do whatever you want. So Hashem showed him a matbeah shalesh. Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu that in this half a shekel is fire of the neshama. And that fire of the neshama is half of God. Like you said, Hashem is yachid, we are yechida. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the essence of the Jew, the fire of the Jew, is always perfect. So the essence of the Jew doesn't sin. And that's why you can get forgiveness. So Hashem's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why you have to show Matbeah Shalesh. Because it wasn't a question what a half a shekel is. God should have taken a half a dollar and showed him what a half a dollar is. He couldn't understand how does this get kapara. So Hashem said there's a fiery coin. And that fiery coin is the Neshama's fire. And that Neshama's fire, which is part of the other half, which is Hashem's fire, that is what causes the forgiveness. And therefore it could even forgive the eagle. And okay, without the other thing, we have to leave why it's 20 and the whole bunch of stuff. Good.